Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 26 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila.
And episode 26, the podcast is now old enough to start worrying about how drunk their friends are all the time. I mean, that's really kind of that age, you know, where we're looking around at other podcasts, wondering why they don't have a regular job. You know, that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, well, I guess we're sticking with the age theme for here. How are we doing this forever?
Until you know, we get to that age where we don't remember things so well.
Okay.
And then we'll work on that.
I mean, what if we get to like 120? I mean, at that point in time, I think the age jokes were beyond that.
We'll have to find something else.
Okay.
I might agree.
We'll get there. All right. Well, today, we are here to talk about Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook do's and don'ts, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the do's and don'ts of Facebook. So what does that mean? We're talking about, should you have a Facebook page for your business? What should and shouldn't you do?
Yeah, I think in a lot of the podcasts that we've done and on the webinars, and honestly, to just about everybody we talk to, we're constantly talking about Facebook marketing and referring people to Facebook and sending people to our own Facebook pages and Facebook groups. And we just kind of wanted to bring all of you up to speed with what Facebook is, what it can do for your business, and how to go about it.
Yeah, and I would like to start off just by, to go on the record, to say that I like Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook, on a personal level, can have its annoyances, it can have its ups, its downs, its things that you like or don't. You don't have to be a heavy personal Facebook user to recognize that it can be good for your business, though.
Right, and just so you know, Facebook is, I don't know right now if it sits as the most checked thing on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, but a huge percentage of the population, even if it might not be you, the first thing that they do when they roll out of the bed in the morning is they pick up their smartphone and they check their Facebook feed.
Absolutely. People are checking their Facebook feed before their email now.
Yes.
You know, the only thing that might be above that might be direct text messages or phone calls.
Right.
That you've missed. Otherwise, I mean, that's basically the next thing. And I think we should maybe define a few things about Facebook, because some people, they don't want to be on Facebook because they don't want everybody to see all of their stuff.
Right, and so let's divide things up a little bit. There are three main things that you can do on Facebook. You can have a Facebook profile, and this is your personal page. This is the where you get the opportunity to connect with friends and family, to talk about what movies you like and what you hate, and gossip about your friends. You know, all that stuff happens on your profile.
And you have to have that to be able to move forward on any of these other things.
Yes, you don't have to use it, but you physically have to set up a personal Facebook profile.
Correct.
To do anything on
Facebook. And another thing to mention on that, going back to my point in the beginning about people seeing your things, is there are privacy settings that you can adjust.
Yes.
So if you go to settings and privacy, you can essentially have it that nobody can see anything, not even search for you on there, unless you physically reach out to them.
Right.
So you don't have to necessarily load up all of your pictures and information and have it out there so everybody can see. You can keep it really private and tight and only allow those in that you want to, if you choose to do that.
Agreed. Now, one thing that I did that Facebook dislikes is I set up a separate Facebook profile for a business persona. So I've got my own personal Facebook page that I really use to keep in touch with friends and family, and then I set up kind of a business-only Facebook profile, and all that took really is a separate email address.
Yeah, and if they listen to this, they might delete that.
It could happen. Honestly, if Facebook is listening to our podcast, then we've made it, and I no longer need that Facebook page.
But it is important to note that, and not necessarily diving too deep into the do's and don'ts now,
right?
But you have to be a real person to have a Facebook page, yes. meaning that if you name your Facebook page Bling Boutique as your first name and your last name, you run a high risk of Facebook just removing your page because yeah. that is not the name of a person or a person.
Yeah. So a Facebook profile
correct.
Has to be a real person.
Yeah, correct. So a profile needs to be you.
Right. The difference is now in a Facebook page, a page is a business or an organization.
Yes, yes.
So if you set up your own Facebook profile like I have, and Mark J. Stevenson is my Facebook profile, and then Facebook pages, I have several. I run the Cold SE Inc. Facebook page, the older SWF East Facebook page, and those are all pages for individual businesses or organizations.
And you can have many of those, yes. obviously, as you mentioned. I don't know if there's a particular limit, but you're not going to hit it.
Yeah,
you're not going to hit it if there is a limit. So with your business, you can choose to segment out how many pages you do or don't need, but right. we're going to be talking about one.
Yeah, most people just need one, and especially if you're just getting into business or you're a new apparel decorator, unless you have a really well-developed, multifaceted corporation, then you're probably just going to use the one Facebook page for your business.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we'll focus on this one, is right. the one page that you have. Maybe or maybe or not, towards the end, we could talk about why you would have multiples.
Yeah.
But this is more of getting into it and the nuts and bolts of what you need to do on Facebook.
So now we don't always call those correctly. So your profile is a personal page. A page is a business page. But we interchange those in conversationally. So from now on, when we talk about your Facebook page, unless we say your personal Facebook page, we're talking about your business, okay? And the last thing that Facebook does is Facebook has groups. And some of you may be part of our Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, but a group is kind of like a club. It's a club that can be based around your business or your particular interest.
Yeah, so we've talked about in plenty of other podcasts before, if you are into boats or horses or biking or running or golf or any of these things that you might be interested in.
Pickle
t-shirts?
Yes.
Okay. So we've talked about all these things, and there are Facebook groups out there that you can join and participate in.
Yes.
You can also start your own if it's, say, Tampa Bay Pickled Food Lovers.
Yeah, yeah. I like that idea. I think I'm going to start that.
Yeah. So you can start your own group. And we can get into that on whether or not you need to do that.
Right.
But it's a club. You can start a club and you can join a club on Facebook, just like in real life.
Yeah. So there you go. And when we talk about, you know, all of the marketing things that we've talked about in past podcasts, one of the big things for increasing word of mouth, you know, locally and online, is to join a group or a club. Or participate in online organizations like meetups and things like that. Facebook groups fall into that category.
Yeah, absolutely. So starting off, setting it up.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about when you should not have
okay,
a Facebook
yes.
group. Because not everybody should. I know everybody might want to, and we might want you to set up a Facebook page, but you should not do that. If you are just going to ignore it.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just put up a Facebook page and then never go back.
And we're speaking about your business page, that putting it up there and ignoring it is going to allow for a few things. For one, if folks do find you on there, they're going to question if you're still in business or how serious you are about business if it's dormant.
Right.
If your last post was from 2012... You're immediately going to lose some trust and faith in your business because you've abandoned that page.
Yes, and if you are in a market where you have competitors that find your page, if you're not looking at it, then they'll use it. You know, yep. So for example, you know, if you've got a Tampa screen printing Facebook page, other screen printers are here in Tampa. If you're not going to post on your own Facebook page, then they can.
Yeah, they can, and they can interact with people.
Yeah.
On your page and such.
Say hi to your customers, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to make sure that you are going to be prepared to interact and use it to some degree. And we can go into plenty of details on that, but you have to go in there and plan to use it and not abandon it, because you will end up with, there will be spam that will land on your page.
Yes.
You can choose to remove that if you're actively involved.
Right.
If not, you're going to be sending people to weight loss pill pages on your page when some spam lands on them.
And you may or may not want to do that. Yeah. Depends on your demographic.
So you've got that. And I think that, to me, that's the number one.
Yeah, if you're going to ignore it,
don't do it. Anything else, there's always a, there's some sort of a maybe, what if, possibilities. Yeah. There's a lot of other rules that you can break. But I think that if you're going to break that rule, then don't have it.
Yeah, agreed. So do we want to talk about more reasons why you might not?
If you would like to mention a couple now, we can also dive into them as we're talking about the other stuff.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. This way we don't forget.
Let's talk about, I think next on our list is setting up a page.
Yes, setting
up. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, and I'd like to first just go right into that with, you have to have a personal page first.
Yes.
Okay, you have to have a profile.
And we don't care what's on that profile.
And that doesn't matter. Do whatever you want with that. However, I will make one recommendation. If you're the type of person that if you're going to post a lot onto Facebook of your personal things, no matter what it is, good or bad, pictures of your kids, your health, your family, when you're going on vacation.
Yes.
You know, if you're posting a lot of personal things about your life, my personal recommendation is to go into the privacy settings and put it on private. Because you're going to start a business page and you're going to give the potential for people to click on you and see your information.
Right.
And you don't necessarily want people you're doing business with to have access to all of your personal stuff.
Yeah, well. You know, it's funny. I'm friends with a local couple that own a real estate company. And they actually moved because for a long time they had a public profile and everyone knew where they lived. And they would get people showing up at their house on Saturday mornings asking them if they could take them around and see houses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that. And so then, you know, however, this comes into the exception things. If you don't post a lot on your personal page or all you're posting is kind of your business stuff anyway.
Then it doesn't matter.
Then then you can leave it open and you can have a degree of transparency towards your customers where they can click and read about you.
Right.
But you want to be careful that you're not saying, hey, guys, I'm going on vacation next week. Meaning that you just told every one of your customers you're going to be out of your house.
Right.
Which you post all the time. Pictures of your neighborhood and house and where it is.
Here it is. Yeah. Oh, look at the safe that I just bought and put in my house to hold all my money.
Yeah, so that's stuff for your friends.
Yes.
That's what, you know, Facebook, even Mark Zuckerberg says it. And I talk about Mark Zuckerberg. He's the head honcho at Facebook, by the way.
He's the head hoodie.
He says, you know, whenever you read and watch and talk about Facebook, it's a place for friends.
Yeah.
So remember, what you put on your profile is for your friends.
Right.
Your real friends, people you know. Yeah. And everything else is for everybody else, acquaintances and business associates.
Yep, agreed.
So, setting up.
Yeah, so when you set up a Facebook page for your business, some of the most important things you do right away. And we've done a couple of podcasts on SEO, local SEO, search engine, getting found online, basically. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you'll get found on Facebook and your business will get found is by filling out every single part of your Facebook profile.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes things like the About section. So basically, I'm going to go to my Facebook, and I'm just going to go to the Cold SE page, and I'm going to take a look here and look. You know, across the top, you'll see your timeline, which is just what everyone will see, and that is just what it says. It's a timeline of events and posts and comments. And then there's the About section. And if you look, there are things like the name of the page, the website address for your page, when your business was started, your address, your hours. There's a place for a short description of your business and a long description of your business. And you're going to want to do both of those because they show up in different ways in different places.
And I think that you should spend a lot of time on this.
Right.
This is just one of those things where you can do it. You can start a Facebook page for your business in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think you should dedicate, I'm going to say an hour to it. You don't have to use the whole hour. But I think that if you're going to do this, you're going to do it probably once right. And then you're just going to edit it from there.
Yeah, I agree. So maybe when you set up, you should think about it like it's your web page.
Yeah.
Like it's your company web page, because in a lot of cases it is, because many of our customers use this instead of a web page.
Yeah.
You can put your Facebook page address on a business card, and people now find that perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, and, right? and it's great for all the reasons we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But you should write it all out. You can write it out ahead of time, you know, in a Word document even if you want. But write it all out. Read it through again. I recommend if you're not great at grammar or spelling or any of these things, have a friend who's a teacher read it for you.
Absolutely.
That's extremely important to do. You want to sound like a nice professional business owner, what niche market you go after.
Right.
If it's profanity t-shirts, you still don't want broken up sentences and garbled English on.
Because remember, this is some place where, you know, Google serves up Facebook pages in their search results. And so does Bing. So this is how they do that. This is how they find you, and you want to make sure that it's coherent enough for Google to read. So, you know, you also want to make sure that throughout this you use words and phrases that relate to your business.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the short description, if you are a bling boutique, then you want to say things, hey, the bling boutique makes terrific custom bling t-shirts. We make rhinestone t-shirts for cheerleaders. We make spangle pants for dance schools. You know, put the kind of things that you do in your business, because that's what, you know, when people search, those are the people that you want to find.
Yeah, rhinestone jackets, and we use rhine studs for menswear.
Right.
You know, you have all the things that you do in nice, clear detail.
Yes.
As much as possible. Think about it. Reread it. Have somebody else read it. Do it again. But fill it up. I also think you should include things like a community that you live in beyond just the city. Similar to
how
we spoke
about
on web pages.
Yes.
So if you're, for example, we're in Tampa, and there in Tampa there's Carrollwood and South Tampa and Palmasia.
All the little neighborhoods.
And all the little neighborhoods. You also might live, in Peoria, Illinois, which is, I believe that's the name of the place. That's just right by Chicago. It's like a suburb.
Okay.
If that's wrong, I'm sorry, but I think that's right.
We live in Florida, so.
But, you could live in Lutz, Florida, but you should put Tampa, Florida as well. You should use the pull of the metropolitan
area. Because no one else lives there. So, you know, I mean, if you live in a very small town, use the next biggest town.
Yeah, and both. You know, use both.
Right.
So, you know, you could say, Bling Boutique in Lutz, Florida, serving all of the Tampa Bay area,
right,
including, you know, Carrollwood.
St. Petersburg, all of that.
So put that information in there if you are going to service those areas.
Yes.
Don't put St. Pete if you're going to want to turn away customers because it's a 45-minute drive and you don't want to bother.
Agreed. So that's all part of thinking out what you're going to say. And the next thing you're going to want to look at is the products tab. Because it's a business page, they want to know what you do. So this is a place to list, once again, those products that you deal with. So if you do screen printing and embroidery, for example, then you're going to want to say custom embroidery, corporate logos, corporate wear, screen-printed t-shirts, family reunion shirts. Just list everything that you could possibly sell.
Yeah, and if you have niche businesses that you particularly deal with often, so if you specialize in, say, salesperson, you know, outside salespeople in, you know, and you deal with a lot of contractor type of businesses, you can list that type of stuff. So you can say things like, we're a premier dealer for uniforms and salespeople wear for plumbing companies. And, you know, you can be specific as you want because they give you a ton of room to write things.
Right.
I also recommend separating things into paragraphs whenever possible.
Yeah.
10 sentences or less. If it is one giant paragraph with 40 sentences, you're not going to get people to read more than the first 10 words.
Yeah, it's much easier to read in paragraph form or bullet points if you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just a trick, if you hit the enter key and instead of doing a carriage return, it actually like enters the document. So, you know, it says like save.
Yeah.
If you hold down the Alt key or the Control key, depending on the software, it will actually let you create a new paragraph.
Yeah, or the Shift.
Or the Shift
key. Yeah, you're going to have to press all three. And I think that's about it on the setup. Another thing is, here's a big one.
Yeah.
Because this has nothing to do with the setup. This is actually just in general. Okay. If you're typing something really long into a website,
yes,
you have to be prepared that whatever you're typing in there can disappear at any moment and not get it back.
Oh, good one. Yeah,
okay,
very much.
So,
do it in Word or something first.
That's what I mentioned
copy
in the beginning.
Yeah,
write it into Word, copy and paste it in. And then when you do copy and paste, you might lose some of your formatting. You might lose the paragraphs and character terms and bullet points. Then you can edit it in there.
Agreed.
But if you just spent 35 minutes writing 300 words, you're going to be really upset when you go to click save and the page refreshes and now it's empty.
Good one. Yeah, good one. All right, so there are a couple more things for setup. One, if you go to a Facebook page while you're listening to this, if you can, Cold SE Inc., Cold SE INC is a good one to go to take a look at. But you'll notice that there are a couple things. First of all, there are tabs across the top that say timeline, about, photos, videos, and there's a more button. And you can actually manage tabs in there and add what you like across the top,
mm-hmm.
which I like to do that a lot because some people want, they just want to see the pictures of your work. And we're going to talk about that later. Or they might just want to see a video that someone told them about. So put all that stuff in there. But probably one of the most important things that people ignore is there's also a button in the main profile picture that says, on mine it says contact us. And if you click the little carrot there when you're logged in, it will actually let you edit that. So you could say shop now if you have an online store. You could say call us if you just want it to lead to a page with your phone number. You could have it do just about anything.
Yeah.
And so use that call to action. Basically, a CTA is what it's called.
And that should be, again, you know, I always kind of go into it, be as specific as you want on there. Everything doesn't have to be very generic.
Right.
So if you want to have people sign up for an email list, or you want people to just check out your work on your own site because you've got more things there, or you have a really cool web page, or people can shop online on your site, or call you.
Yeah.
You know, these are all whatever you want people to actually do when they land there, make it easy for them to do that.
And clear.
And clear. If you want people to call you, and then make sure your phone number is in a bunch of different places so they can easily find it.
Right.
On the Coleman & Company webpage, our phone number is the biggest text on our front page right on the top.
Yeah.
We encourage folks to just call us if you need us.
Right.
If you want that, you should make your phone number just as easy to find.
If you don't want that, do not put that in a visible place.
Yep.
Okay? Because I know some people don't. So the other thing that, as I'm looking at this page, that people ignore all the time, and that is those top two images. There's a page image and a profile image. I never want you to ignore these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that preparation process. The small picture on the page is 180 pixels by 180 pixels. Put your company logo on there if you want to. If you are a recognizable person, then put your face on there. Put a sample of your work there. Don't leave it blank. Because whenever you post on your own page or on somebody else's page using your Facebook page as the origin, then that's what it's going to show.
Yes.
It's kind of like your author image, and you want that to be identifiable.
Absolutely. And there's some don'ts here.
Yeah.
Don't use such a low resolution or small version of your logo that it's pixelated.
Yes.
Don't use a stretched out version of your logo where it's too tall or too wide and it doesn't look right.
Don't use your high school yearbook picture.
Yes.
I don't care if that's what you use on your personal profile, although you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Unless you just graduated from high school. Use a professional image. If you're going to use yourself, then take a picture of yourself in business wear.
Yeah, and it also, two things on that. You know, one, your kids are beautiful.
Right.
They're beautiful kids. And
I'm
your
sure
grandkids
they are.
Are beautiful.
I mean, they might not be, but I'm sure you think they are.
And your grandkids are wonderful.
They are. I know that for a fact.
But that picture shouldn't be a picture of your grandkids unless they're maybe wearing something specifically you made, and it fits a lot.
Don't go out of your way for that.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I would still say don't.
Right.
Even, actually, I want to retract that statement.
And
just
say
don't.
Never do.
Just
yeah,
don't
never
do it. It has to be very
special. I'm
going to
give
occasions.
You the only time that I would do that.
Okay.
And that is if you are selling products that are specifically geared towards grandparents buying gifts for their grandchildren.
Yeah.
I can see that as a market. You could do that. You know, like number one grandma t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, if that's your main thing, go ahead.
Yeah. And that's where I guess I was trying to go with that. But we're talking about you're better off to just use your logo or a picture of your work or a picture of you.
Yeah.
And that's a safer bet to play.
Yeah. So think about that. Think about that small image as how you want to identify your company.
Yes.
In a way that will make you the most money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And if you sell, t-shirts that have a particularly offensive things on it, then there's no problem to have a picture of you wearing an offensive t-shirt sitting on, the hood of your Mustang or something like
flipping
that.
Flipping everybody off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then that's you, and that's
right.
Who you're trying to sell to. But if you're doing general business wear or professional things, have a friend or somebody take a nice headshot of you that looks good, or just put your logo if you don't like pictures of yourself.
Yeah, I agree. And then that brings us to the big picture. You know, for example, for our page image for Cold Essie, we have a picture. Once a year, we do a staff photo, and we put that up there. I put that up there on most of our pages because we want to remind people that there are people working here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that we're a very personal company. Like, you know, Mark Vila and I are sitting here talking to you directly. You know, that's the kind of thing we're doing. We're not IBM or Apple or Google, where we don't want to be identified with the person on the other end of the phone or on the other end of the email. You know, so that's why we use that image specifically.
Yeah, and with that, you want to follow the same rules. If the image, you wouldn't want to use a stretched image of people where people don't look right. You don't want to use something where it's fuzzy or out of focus, unless you're trying to do some sort of artsy thing with it. But generally speaking, you want a nice, clear image. This can be something that if you do graphics, great. Then you can make it look great. If not, it doesn't cost a lot to even pay somebody to help you.
It's true. You could do that. You could take a picture of your shop if it's particularly clean and impressive. You know, if you've got a couple of great embroidery machines and you've got some customer work laying out on a table, you know, I mean, those are reasonable things to put in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Pictures of your work, pictures of you with your work, pictures of your shop, of your sign, even if it's just, even if it's your logo with just a nice background.
Yeah, and
you don't have to go crazy.
I was going to go through all of the different picture sizes and things like that here, but I mean, you guys can research that. I want you to get used to working with Facebook. So I want you to Google or Bing or whatever you do, Facebook image sizes. And it will tell you how many pixels wide and how many pixels deep, you know, that all of these images should be.
Yeah, and there's plenty of tips on this. And then after you do it, one do that you want to do is look at it on the computer, make sure it looks nice there.
Yeah, and
then get on your phone,
right.
Go there and look at it on your phone, because there's a lot of clever and funny things that people do with those images and make the images interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of clever things you could do. But then you look at it on the phone, and it can look foolish or bad or sloppy or just doesn't look right. So look at it on both. Make sure that what you want to portray comes through on both.
And I'll tell this just short anecdote that I heard on the radio just the other day.
Sure.
Is that Mark Zuckerberg, the hoodie in charge of Facebook, started refusing to talk to people about anything about Facebook unless he was talking about mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't see any future in Facebook desktop or a very small one. So when you do anything on Facebook, you really do need to check it on your phone and make sure it looks good.
So you've set up, you've put some a nice paragraph of information, whatever contact information you want to share. You've got some nice images. You've got, you know, all of this stuff going on. So now you've got a Facebook page for your business that's ready to go.
Yeah, it's all set up.
So what's next? What's the next step
here? What the heck do you do with it?
Yeah,
I mean what do you do with a business Facebook page? Like, when I first started in business, I was just like, I have no idea. I have no idea. So here are the do's and don'ts of actually using Facebook. I would like to start with the don'ts.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go right into it.
Don't have... We kind of talked about don't ignore it.
Yes.
So I just want to reiterate that. Don't set up a Facebook page and then never go back. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. Don't have Facebook Tourette's.
Okay.
Okay, so what I mean by that is your Facebook page should be free of your personal interests, especially if they're extreme.
Okay.
So unless that's part of your niche market. So let's just say this. For example, like Mark said about the images, if you run a business that caters to people that are buying filthy phrase t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
Then it may be perfectly appropriate for you to cuss up a storm on your Facebook page, okay? But it might not be appropriate for you to explain all of your extreme political views.
Yeah.
Because those might not be the same market.
Exactly. If your market, and a good way to, another one to put, say, if your market is Tea Party, where?
Right.
Right, you...
That's not like... To attend a tea party.
No, like the political
party. The political party, the tea party.
Yeah, the tea party. Okay. So if that's what you sell, so if you sell a bunch of different t-shirts and hats that is all pro-tea party stuff, then it's perfectly fine to maybe, maybe during that conversation you will bash the president.
Yes.
Or bash, the other Republican candidates.
Yes.
or bash, Democratic candidates. It might be okay to bash that and post this pro your party stuff because
right.
you're pandering
that's your
to
audience.
Your audience,
yeah.
And you're getting them fired up in a reason to want to buy the shirt.
Yes.
Now, however, if you sell to everybody and you're selling, say, like I mentioned before, you sell a lot of things to contractors and contractor salespeople, so you're selling polo shirts that are embroidered for the salespeople and you're making patch uniform garments. If you're posting a bunch of political things there, you're going to alienate yourself from somebody who would have purchased from you.
Right. And remember, the point of all this is to make money.
Yes.
So I'm willing to do business with people. I'm interested in doing business with people that I disagree with on almost everything.
Sure.
And if you're not willing to do that, then don't have a Facebook page for business.
Yeah. I think that was the point of what you were saying. If you're not willing to say, I don't have to get into all of my personal views and share it everywhere I go. If you're not willing to do that, which is fine. That's your right to do that as well. You might say, well, I don't want to do business with somebody who disagrees with me there.
Yeah. So it could be that, if you, maybe you are so politically motivated that you don't want to do business with Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of the population in Florida, for example.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't like old folks for some reason. So, you want to constantly put geriatric jokes on your page and you don't care who sees it. Now, you will turn people off whenever a certain percent of the population isn't going to agree with you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
So that's why if you look at any of the Coldesier Coleman and Company properties, it's all about business and helping you get into business. It's not about what we did that weekend or how much we like or dislike what happened in the political debates or what we, the sermon that we heard about in church over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's about business.
It is about business. And we can also talk about a don't and a do is making jokes.
Okay.
So if you make a joke, if it's really, really lighthearted, you're probably not going to offend anybody with a knock-knock joke. But if it's not funny,
right,
then it doesn't work at all.
Yeah,
it doesn't help you at all.
I'm pretty sure. There are a couple of comments that I've made throughout our podcast because I am snarky. That's a word that we're looking for.
Yeah.
That I would have said differently if it wasn't a live recording. You don't want to do – you have the opportunity to do that on Facebook. You can look at what you're about to post and decide, you know, if it's, okay, is it really funny? You know, is this going to tick off a potential customer? Because I'm in this for money, not for funny.
Wow.
Did I just do that? That's what you get in episode 26.
Yeah,
we're starting to come into our own here.
But before you post anything, you can also just ask yourself, especially if you're being really serious about it, is this post going to get me anything? Is this post going to provide me any positive?
Yeah.
Is there a potential for a negative?
Yes.
And weigh that out. You know, it's your risk and reward thing. If you sell offensive T-shirts and you post a really offensive joke, it's probably going to be positive.
Right.
Because
somebody's going to look for a T-shirt with that joke on it.
Yes, right. Exactly. However, if you're selling just straight corporate wear and you make kind of an off-color joke, you have to say, well, is this going to actually do anything good for me?
Yeah.
And then you could just hit the delete. You can delete after you post
Or not. You know, for example, and this goes also if you participate in groups or forums online that might be tracked back to your business. So, for example, we had one customer, not a customer, but a member of the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group who posted a couple of times and used language that I didn't think was appropriate for everyone in the group.
Sure.
And that's the way I look at things, right? We want to be useful and we want to be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I private messaged him and I said, look, I mean, you're welcome to post here anytime, but really, you know, we've got a big audience of a lot of different kinds of people. We don't allow profanity in the group. And his response was, well, I started my business so I could do whatever I want. You know, so I just won't participate. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations on having that much control and not needing that extra money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so if you make that decision, that's fine. Just make it in advance.
Yeah, exactly. And just know that if you're going to choose to do something to dive deep into a niche and kind of alienate out people, then you need to know you need to go full force into that and be able to really make sure that direction that you're heading is the direction that is going to be profitable for the long term of your business, which can be, you know, it can
yeah.
be, but you can also, you know, kind of pigeonhole yourself into a spot where you're complaining that you're not making enough money and your business is not successful, but you're not willing to bend on certain ideas or concepts or how you act.
Okay, I think I've got one more don't.
Okay.
And then because I feel a little negative now.
Okay.
Because we've been talking about all the stuff that you don't do these things. The last don't that I'm going to put on there is don't argue.
Yes.
Okay, so don't argue with your customers. Don't argue with anyone else on Facebook, period.
And it's actually, that's a good rule always.
Right.
You
shouldn't argue with people.
Yeah. But, well, and on Facebook, period. But a good rule to follow is two comments.
Yeah, that's actually the rule.
Yeah, you know, that's
the And that's rule. In response to, you know, somebody says, and we've done this all the time because we've got a lot of customers. And not all of them are always 100% happy 100% of the time. You know, someone will come out and say, hey, you know, this is terrible. I had this problem and they didn't fix it. This company sucks. You know, so I could say, well, actually, you know, I'm looking at our support, you know, records, and we did solve that problem. The problem you broke something else or, you know, you never called us back. You could get into that kind of an argument. Kind of a thing, but that's not what you want to do. You want to say, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, happy to take care of the problem from here. You know, what can we do from now?
Yeah, and encourage people to reach out to you directly.
Privately. Yeah.
You know, especially, so if somebody ordered a bunch of shirts and you were supposed to have 20 extra larges, but you delivered 20 larges.
Yes.
You know, so now there's an issue with sizes and how many they got, and they're stressing out.
Yeah.
You know, you should respond on there, because other people are going to see it.
Yes.
So you should respond with, I'm sorry, I'm not sure, we lost some, there was some miscommunication, or there was some error made.
I'm going to take care of that right away.
I'm going to take care of it. And then, you know, and then of course reach out to them directly or ask them to reach out to you, whatever's
yeah.
more appropriate, and then, see if they respond, you know, and if they don't respond from there, then good, Yes. You know, you said you were sorry. You said you were going to take care of it. You said to reach, and the thread ended.
Yes.
And that's fine. If they come back and say, well, that's not good enough.
Yeah, you know, ruined my event. You're ugly and you have bad breath.
Yeah. Then, again, you can respond one more time after that and say, let's figure out a way together to resolve this.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out to you. You reach out to me, whatever it is. Let's contact each other directly and kind of end it. And if they are going to continue on that path,
then you're done.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say. Do not respond more than two times.
Yeah.
Because what you've done, I mean, keep in mind that this is a public forum, and what you've done is you've, you know, you've demonstrated that you care and that you'll take steps to fix it. And a lot of times you'll turn a customer around. It's really rare that someone will go on after two times and still beat you up. A lot of times they'll be, hey, you know, they were great. That's the response that I usually get is, you know, hey, Mark, thanks a lot for your help. I really appreciate you stepping in and you guys are great. You know, but if you don't get that, you know, still you can't just keep going back and forth.
Yeah. People want to, you know, they want to know that you care about what you delivered them because they paid, you know, they paid money for it and it was important to them, whether it was an event or a gift or it's for their business or whoever you're selling it to. And if they're responding in a negative way and you're coming back and saying, let's resolve this in one way or another, resolving it publicly isn't always the best move.
Right. But what you want to do is you're demonstrating publicly that you are trying.
Yes.
And that you're a good company to do business with. And I guarantee you that people are watching, you know, people are reading that thread. And honestly, if they get aggressive or they use profanity or they just keep going, you can always delete the post.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have ultimate control. You can delete the post if you want to.
And it's good sometimes to leave that stuff on there if it does get resolved in the thread. So if somebody says, hey, I ordered 20 large, I got, you know, maybe they should have just called you directly.
Right.
But they chose not to. They chose to go to there because it was for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you say, listen, we'll take care of this. If their next response is, okay, great, I'll call you after two, you can leave that up there.
Yeah.
Because you've essentially, you know, you showed that, hey, here's a real world problem that can happen. I responded to it in a professional way and my customer agreed to it.
Agreed.
And now you've displayed out to the public that if there is a problem, you're going to take care of it.
Right.
Which is a concern people have.
So that's enough don'ts. What are the do's of actually using Facebook?
Well,
what do people do?
You do interact. So if we're segueing from the last statement, you do want to interact with people that post on your page, make comments as much as possible. If somebody, no matter what, I think I'm of the opinion that 100% of the posts that people put on there, you should have some sort of response to.
Agreed.
So if they just say, great work,
love your stuff,
perfect,
yeah,
you know, your response could just be, thanks for the awesome feedback.
Yeah.
That's it. So you should interact with people. When people go to your page and they see you interacting, you are building trust that way.
Agreed.
They know that you are there. They know that if they have an issue or whatever they need, they're going to be able to reach you very quickly.
And also what happens whenever you respond is Facebook usually pushes the most recently commented on post to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a comment that you like and you respond to it, then it's going to be back up to the top. So when someone new comes to your page, the first thing that they're going to see is, thanks, it was great work, and you responding.
Exactly, and that's another reason why you don't want to have an argument post.
Right.
Because then your argument post is going to be the first thing everybody sees.
So if you are in the middle of a conversation with an unhappy customer, what you want to do is go find something else positive and comment on that so it stays up at the top of the page.
Yes. Is commenting on this going to gain me anything?
Right.
You know, that's kind of just always a rule for Facebook. Is doing this going to gain me anything? If not, then is it worth doing?
So one of the big do's that we talked about before you on whether or not to create a Facebook page is interaction and ignoring it. So what kind of frequency do you recommend? How often do you think people should post, Mark?
I think that there's a minimum and a maximum.
Okay.
but the minimum 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay. I was 3 and higher, but okay. I like that.
Yeah, and you just want to, because when you're posting, if somebody's going to look at your history, you know, you have to imagine what's it going to look like if your Facebook page is 90 days old, 3 months old.
Yes.
And somebody goes to your page, what's it going to look like? So if it's 3 months old, there's approximately 12 weeks, which means if you did 2, you're going to have 24 posts on a 3 month old page.
Right.
You're going to have, round and about, 100 posts a year.
Right.
And your page will be nice and full.
But on the other side, if the last time you posted was about your Christmas special.
Yeah.
And it's February and somebody goes to the page and they see, we're having a Christmas sale on bling sweaters. Then they know that you don't care.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention.
You're not paying attention to it. You're behind it. The funniest thing that I saw was in, when was this? This was over a year ago. But this is not Facebook, but this is the same thing.
Okay.
Okay, there is a gym, and it was like April, I think, of last year. And their sign out front said something like, get fit for the holidays now. And I'm just like, what?
For Valentine's Day?
Like,
for Arbor Day?
It was like April, and I'm like,
for tax
what,
day.
Yeah, what holiday are you getting fit for? You know, and I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. This sign has probably not been changed in 6 months.
Yes.
So that's the same thing. You know, that's kind of your sign there.
I agree.
So a couple times a week, maybe 3 or more, might be the number. But, I just try to think of it in the long tail of things. If you've got 100 posts in a year, then you have a nice full page. You've got plenty of interaction on there.
Yeah.
Having, the more the merrier. If you're posting 10 times a day, then now you've got another issue.
Right. You should be working.
You
should be on the phone and trying to make some sales.
And the other issue is that if you are appearing in people's feeds, which would be a nice thing, you might be getting people to hide you from their feed.
Yeah, because it's a little too much.
It's a little too much. So you don't want there. Not everything that you post is going to be in people's feeds, no matter what. No matter how much they like your page, they're only going to get to see maybe 15% of what you post in their feed.
Okay.
But if you're posting all day, every day, then it's not particularly entertaining.
Yeah.
Then you could lose some people that way.
Okay.
And you don't want people to dislike or unlike your page.
And I also want to point out that this, you post 3 times a week, for example, no matter how active your page is.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's brand new and no one's on it and no one goes, you should still post 3 times a week. Because if it's 2 months and you don't have anybody that's signed up for your page or just a few people and you look at it and go, I'm just not going to do this anymore. It's a waste of time. Then when person number 3, 4, and 5 come to the page, they're going to see that you haven't posted for a long time.
Yes.
That you don't have that many friends or likes or whatever, and they're just going to keep going. But even if it's a brand new page, if you've got some content on there, like if you go to the Cold Essie page, we post article, Steps for Success in the New Year. We'll post a picture of a machine running. There's some interest there and reasons why someone might want to stay, look through the rest of the post and like the page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, with saying that, what do you post? Now I have to come up with 3 things a week to put on there, and I know I don't want it to be, garbage, and mostly I post pictures of my grandkids and my political views.
Right.
So what can we put up there?
Well, there's you can post pictures, video, and words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are pretty much your choices.
Yep.
Pictures, videos, and words. So for pictures, what I really like, and I talk about it I think in every podcast, is when you do a job for a customer, why don't you use Facebook as your proof picture?
Mm-hmm.
So take a picture of the work that you just completed and put it up on your business Facebook page. And then send a link to your customer and say, hey, I loaded up a picture of the work on Facebook. Do me a favor and just say yes or no.
Yeah.
And then you've got a picture of something that you've done. It's a good picture that you can take on your phone because they're great cameras now. And it serves a couple of purposes. It gets your customer to go there,
mm-hmm.
And you know what? That customer is going to see that picture, and if it looks awesome, they're going to share it.
Yeah.
And then more people are going to come to your Facebook page.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because they may request a change on that. And that could be a cool interaction to allow potential customers to see.
Yeah, how do you do business?
Yeah, so they could see you post something on there, and the customer might say, that looks great, but I would prefer the lettering to be larger or the you know the whole thing to be a little smaller.
Yeah.
Great, let me fix that up for you, and then post a second one, and the customer says, that looks awesome. You know, that could be a very cool thing.
Yeah, it's being shared, you're getting good customer interaction. Honestly, it's a great technique to use. It's great customer service, and it's a great technique to use to get people to like your page.
Yeah, and when you mentioned sharing.
Yes.
So there's no shame in asking somebody to share it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if they do say, yeah, it looks great, I can't wait to get all the work done, then say, awesome, hey, share it to your friends if you like it, you know?
Share it with everybody who's going to get one of these shirts.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you have 57 new likes on your page.
Yep, and you can ask them to tag people in it. Say, hey, yeah, feel free to tag anyone else that you want to see this.
Yeah.
And what tagging means is if you don't know too well, you can start to type in a friend's name in Facebook, and their name will populate.
Yes.
And then it will let them know that somebody wrote their name on this page. So if they have, say, if they've got 6 salespeople that work for their AC company, and they're all going to be getting these shirts, well, you might get 6 more people to go there. They're on your page. They look at it. They might write, yeah, this is cool.
It may show up on their timeline, so their friends will see that they have, you know, seen the shirt and liked it, you know, and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, yeah. And now that post gets pushed to the top, as we mentioned earlier, because posts that are being active are towards the top.
I love all that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I'm glad one of us thought of that.
And you can do video, too. You could do the same thing for video, you know, so... You know, maybe, especially if it's something that looks cool. Two things. An embroidery machine, if you have never seen it run, is fascinating to see run. And a DTG printer, to see a completed design kind of roll out of a direct-to-garment printer is fascinating as well. And we've been at trade shows. People just stop to watch.
Yep.
Because they've never seen anything like that. Well, you can take a very short 30-second video of maybe your machine's running or maybe that last shirt for a customer being embroidered. Take a 30-second video, and when you upload that to Facebook, when people open your page, it automatically plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you upload it directly to Facebook. And nothing is more shared on Facebook than video.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of... There's just a ton of things you can do. You can ask a customer to do a little video testimonial for a couple seconds while they're at your shop picking things up.
Yeah, just use your cell phone. Say, hey, what do you think of the order? Like, do you mind if I record it? Oh, I love the shirts. You guys are great. You know,
yeah.
And then put it on your page.
Yeah, and if somebody's like, oh, my gosh, this looks fantastic. Yeah. I don't know how to thank you. You know, you can say, well, if you're not too shy, one way you can thank me is, like, I like... And just be 100% honest with them. Say, listen, I have a Facebook page. I'm trying to get more interaction on it because I'm trying to grow my business. I did a good job for you, so I'm sure you would like me to do better.
Yeah.
One thing that likes is I'm trying to get a few people to just say that I did a good job on video and I can share it. And if they're shy about it, they won't have a problem to say, I didn't do my nails. I can't have my hands on, you know, I get that all the time here, but if they are willing to do it, you know, you'll get a lot of people that'll say, yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah.
No, that sounds great. Especially if they're good and they're kind of on that little bit of a high that they just got this
just
cool,
got a cool
thing that is unique.
Honestly, especially if it's bling. I find that people go nuts over, you know, the rhinestones, the spangles, or the glitter. Mm-hmm. You know, vinyl look great.
So another thing to post.
Yeah.
Events.
Okay, that's good.
We've talked about that a bunch of times.
Yeah, definitely.
if you're going somewhere, if you're going to a boat show or a horse show or a dog show or a trade show or anything like that, tell your customers you're going to be there and why you're going to be there and why they might want to come.
Yeah, and you could do that in a couple of ways. You could just use this as your words post. Because we've talked about pictures, we talked about video. This is words. You could just describe the event that you're going to, or you could actually create the event on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're hosting it. Even if you're attending a trade show, you could say, here's my event. Come to my booth, you know, in this place and buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, let me know if you're attending.
And you can use that post a bunch of times.
Right.
Because you can announce it a few months ahead of time. You can announce it a month ahead of time. You can announce it the week of. Then you can announce it the day before and the day of.
Right. Especially and each one of those are your one of three posts,
yeah,
you know, per week.
So one event can take up, you know, six posts or more.
Yeah.
You could post pictures at the event, or you could post words at the event. Hey, I'm here. This is great.
Love
you know,
that.
Whatever it is.
Check in on Facebook
check
from
in.
The event.
Mm-hmm. So it'll eat up a lot of posts, and that's good content for the folks that are interested.
Yeah, people like it.
People will like it. And then another thing that's kind of along that lines, but announcements about your business.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, like, for example, if it's and you could do a combo post. So, for example, it's February 2nd right now. So how about your first t-shirt printed in February?
Yep.
You know, here, hey, just want to say thanks to Bob's Pest Control, my first February customer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a nice little note. And then tag Bob's Pest Control.
Yeah.
And Bob himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a great way to provide content. It's actually kind of useful for people. They like that.
Yeah, it is. And it'll make your customers feel good and special and that you care about them. The announcements also, you know, they could be anything, really. So one that I think of is if you, say, order a new shirt that you've never printed on before.
Yeah.
Or a new cap you've never sewn on before and you like it. It sews out well. It prints well. It looks good. It's comfortable. Then you can post on there, hey, I just started using this new t-shirt that just came out made by, you know, Hanes or whatever, whoever makes it. And it's a great performance wear fabric. It feels really comfortable. If you are looking for t-shirts in this type of performance wear material for the summer coming up.
Yeah, this is what we should talk about.
Yeah, ask me about this.
Yeah, and you know what? I just want to reinforce, like, the way that you said that was very casual.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the tone on Facebook.
Yeah.
So what you don't want to do is you don't want to make your print post, good evening, customers and potential customers. You know, I would like to announce the fact that I have, you know, issued a new optional clothing wear option. You know, you don't want to make it complicated or formal. You want to make it casual, like it's on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. And brief.
Yeah.
You know, brief and casual. That's always another thing is that we all have been on Facebook pages and profile pages and timelines and all that stuff where somebody posts something that's particularly long.
Yeah.
It won't get read statistically.
Right.
Statistically, nobody's going to read.
They'll read the first sentence.
Yeah.
And
so
that's about it.
If you have an announcement, then keep it brief.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a lot of information you do have to share, I recommend either sharing it in the comments or maybe sharing it on a link on your website.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, if you have something really, really long to tell, don't expect to put it on Facebook in a post and that all your customers are going to read 100 words about this announcement that you have. Unless
Agreed.
It's really, really interesting, like... Or not interesting, but really useful. Like, I'm going to be at this event. Hey, everybody, getting to this horse event is hard because it's off the beaten path.
Here are the directions.
Here's directions.
That's a great example. That's a great example.
Maybe that might be 100 words,
yeah.
But that's going to be something that somebody says, yes, I want that. I'm going to read it.
I like that. So we've got events, and I just want to say, you know, if you're stuck for content, you don't have an event you're going for, and you can't take pictures of your customers' clothing for some reason, then start going through your equipment and your personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is if you work with your wife or husband, for example, you know, just take their picture working and say, hey, this is Bob Smith. He's my number one employee. And, oh, by the way, my husband. And, you know, and post that up there if that's the tone of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You have a heat press. Hey, this is the heat press I'm going to use to cure your next direct-to-garment printed T-shirt. You know, take a picture of your building, you know, with snow in front. Snowing outside, still open for business.
Yep.
You know, just find, you know what, I would even say, do one picture, do one video, and do one text.
That's a great mixture that you could do, and you'll cover all your bases. You'll have a lot of mixture of different things happening. You can also, if you're new, if you're really, really new, brand new, and you literally have the amount of customers you can count on a hand.
Yes.
Then something you can do is you should be practicing. More than likely, you should be practicing.
You mean like printing and embroidering and blinging and things like that.
Digitizing and creating new artwork. And you know, if you have a direct-to-garment printer, you should be using the machine.
Yep.
If you have an embroidery machine and you're new, then you should be practicing in a lot of different materials and types of things. So
yes,
make these things. You know, you can feel free to make things just for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and share that. So you can take your logo and sew it out 100 different ways, in 100 different styles, and in a bunch of different colors. You can, if you have kids that go to a particular high school, maybe, you can just make stuff for that you're going to give to your kids.
If you've got potential customers that you really want, then maybe you'll do their logo or do a picture of their building and print it out on a T-shirt or something like that. And that you can put on there, and then you can drop it by later.
Yep.
So a twofer.
Yeah, that's great. And then, you know, turn things, if you do it in the bling business, turn things into bling.
Okay.
So take a logo and turn it into bling, and then take a picture of the logo and the bling next to each other and blingified it, but whatever it is, just, you know, do things and then post pictures of it. It can be pictures of the actual work. It can be a screenshot of a piece of art that you designed. Right. In Photoshop.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, anything. It could be a video of your machine running. Just do things.
Yeah, agreed.
Just do things.
I agree.
And you don't have to spend, we're not talking about hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, this is not hours a week.
Yeah.
It's minutes a week.
Agreed. So we've talked about, you know, how often to post, the kinds of things that you should post, you know, how to handle, you know, not arguing on Facebook and all of that stuff. You know, one thing that we didn't mention is, how do you get people to your Facebook page?
Okay, yeah.
So we didn't talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Let's spitball it, because we didn't prepare anything for that.
No, but we already mentioned a few so far. So how do you get people to the page would be posting images of their work and tagging them in it.
Yeah, I love that.
Or sending them an email link to something that you posted, asking them to share it with other people. One thing that I am not a fan of is begging all of your friends
page. Yeah, don't have all of your friends like your page. Just don't do that.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, for one, you don't want to make somebody feel obligated that they have to do it.
Yes.
You know, especially if they're just not into that.
Yeah.
You know, and T-shirts are cool, and embroidery is cool, and it's fun. But when it's like, you know, commercial insurance sales,
that's a hard one.
I don't want. Don't ask me. Yeah, my friend was a manager of a collections company.
Okay,
and he wanted me to like the page.
No, definitely
and,
not.
And then that was the first time I called somebody out on it. I was like, no, I'm not liking that. I don't like you.
Right.
Nobody likes you.
I don't like that business. Stop calling me.
But, you know, if you have friends that are encouraging, and you know that they are encouraging, and they will like your posts and share them,
then
you should ask them, because they're your friend, and you know that they're encouraging. But, you know, don't blast everybody. And if you ask somebody once or twice, and they don't take the hint, it's okay. So you can ask people, you can put a sign in your business, or a card, or a flyer in your things that you sell. You can do that, but that's not really going to get a lot of likes on your page.
Right. I think one of the things that you can do to really bring up that count is to participate in your niche groups or in your regional groups.
That's better.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to Facebook and you type in, you know, if you're in the bling business and you type in Tampa cheerleading or Florida cheerleading, and there's a cheerleading association or, you know, a club or things like that, if it looks appropriate and interesting for your business and what you do, then go ahead and join that group and start to participate in it.
Yeah.
And if you do that without being really obvious, like, hey, I sell t-shirt, you know, I sell bling t-shirts, buy stuff from me, but you contribute to the group, then you'll get people back to your page to like it.
Yeah, and you might have, the group that you're in might allow outside links.
Yes.
And then you can say, if it's a car lovers community,
yeah,
and somebody is posting about their Mustang, and you printed a Mustang t-shirt,
yeah,
then it might be appropriate to link to that.
You say, hey, check this out
on your page.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I made a shirt just like that for somebody in this city who did, you know, who has a similar car.
I like that.
Whatever
idea
it might be. And then oftentimes that's appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, to do. If you have a website, then, you know, putting the links on your website, in your email, putting the links in your email, but give people a reason to want to like it. I think that is the tricky part.
I think that is a little bit more difficult. So we'll do things like, you know, we'll, you know, include, we'll offer an ebook download, or, you know, we'll do some more advanced things to get people to go to our Facebook page. But the simple things are to join groups and participate and be useful,
mm-hmm,
to put your Facebook page link in the bottom of every email,
mm-hmm,
even your personal email.
Sure.
So in your signature, you know, maybe it's Mark Stevenson, you know, sincerely Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then the link below that is join me on Facebook, or here's my business on Facebook, you know, and there's a link to your Facebook page.
Yeah. And you, there's a lot of different things you can think of to get people to want to join.
Yeah.
So if you are in a custom t-shirt business where you make themed shirts and you sell them online, then you tell somebody, this is where I announce shirts first.
Yes.
So I announce them here, then they go on my website.
Yeah.
Be the first to know.
Yeah.
So be the first, or if you have exclusive deals on Facebook, you could say.
Which you should.
Yeah, you should. So I print t-shirts and I sell them online. I've got special deals for my Facebook friends. Click here to join and be one of, and be
one of
my friends
on there.
I love that idea.
That's a great idea.
So then, hold up to that promise.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, too.
Right. You can't ignore it. That's part of the don't. Don't ignore it if you do that.
Yeah. So if you're going to have an e-commerce store, then you can put coupons on Facebook. If somebody is a Custom Apparel Startups member,
yeah,
they will get coupons for Coleman & Company that nobody else sees or gets.
Yeah.
As part of being a part of that group. That's a reason to join, that you're going to join, and you're going to get a coupon that nobody else got.
Could you go to ColemanandCompany.com and find a place to sign up for that kind of thing?
For coupons?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, just want to say you can go to ColemanandCompany.com and find a place where you can sign up
for coupons. Absolutely. So, we have coupons there, and there's coupons for folks who sign up there, and there's coupons for folks who sign up on the Facebook page.
Nice.
You can do a lot of these different things.
Yeah, that's easy.
It's not sometimes they can be exclusive. Sometimes it's just a way to say, this is a place where I announce deals and specials and coupons.
I mean, honestly, I'm looking at the Cold SE Inc. page, and in the place where you can post a status update, there's a little drop-down menu that says offer or event.
Yeah.
And I can pick offer, and I can plug whatever I want into. I can put a picture up. It'll pick a picture off of my timeline. I can upload a coupon. You know, whatever I want to do, I can put it right there.
Yeah, so
they make it simple.
Yeah, so you know, you give people a reason to join, whether it's to get a special deal, see something new, you know, interact. If you have a particular niche market, you know, you can, if it's, say, dog t-shirts and you're dealing with a lot of dogs, you know, you could say, you know, I post tons of pictures of dogs and the custom apparel that I make for them. If you love dogs, join this group because you're going to see some
That's
funny
a good one.
And
That's a good
stuff.
One. I like that. I like
so,
that.
So, you know, you want to just make sure you give people a reason to join and then ask them.
Yeah.
And one I saw, I think I've mentioned just probably before in the podcast, but I was in a shop where I got something for free because I joined their Facebook page.
Okay.
I think it was Facebook, or it might have been a Google review,
right,
but you can use it for Facebook. And this one particular was a cell phone shop. You got a free screen protector if you liked their Facebook page or commented on Google. It was a little, probably something you could buy online for $3.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't have one, and they're going to give me one for free right now.
I'm in.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Right.
And so you could do that.
Bribery's fine.
Yeah, bribery
there's
fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so you could say you could have a particular T-shirt. Maybe it's just a white T-shirt. It's a cheap one to make.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, your cost to make it is just a few bucks. You know, $2 to make it, $3, you know, minus your time. But you could say, hey, if you sign up for this, I'll give you the shirt.
Yeah.
And you'll have people that will do that.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good way to add some numbers to your Facebook page. And the more people that like your page and interact on your page, the more people that will like your page and
interact
on your page.
There you go. Yeah. It's
just the way it works.
It's a snowball. So is there anything else on here, any particular do's or don'ts that we missed before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I just wanted to point out the tantalizing button that is on my Facebook page for Cold SE as I look at it right now.
Sure.
And that is the promote page or the boost post button.
Okay.
And we're not going to get deep into Facebook advertising on this one. We may at some point. I think that would be a good idea. But this is kind of interesting. What you can do is if you have a post that people like,
mm-hmm.
particularly if it's a great video post, you can experiment with that boost post button and just see what it does. Because
mm-hmm.
what it'll do is you'll budget some money in order to push that post onto other people's timelines.
Yes. And you could you don't have to spend a ton. $10,
right.
bucks, $20
yeah.
can be enough often. But when you boost that post, you literally pay Facebook to put that on the top of people's pages, in timelines and news feeds,
yes.
and the top of your page. You're telling them, share this more.
Yeah.
Them do it. Them share it more to other people, not just having to physically have individual users post it and move it around. But Facebook will. You're
right.
paying them to move it around. So it's a great thing to do.
It's the easiest way to get into paid advertising. It really is.
Yeah, it's the first step into it because there's not much configuring to do.
Right.
It's very simple. It takes about a minute to do.
Agreed.
And when you do that, it will tell you what happened. It will show you how many people it reached, how many people liked it or shared it or liked your page because of it. And then you can start putting a value to that.
Yeah.
And you can say, is it worth it?
And then you're into the Know Your Numbers podcast.
Yeah.
Which you should definitely listen to.
Likes and people joining your page don't necessarily mean money for you unless you're physically doing something on that Facebook page that's generating business.
Right.
So paying Facebook to get you a whole bunch more likes is not going to do you much unless you're really providing calls to action
right.
on the page. And you're giving people a reason to buy from you after joining your page.
That's true. And, you know, you have to really kind of dig into it a little bit. It would be great, and we've talked about stuff like this before, if you started playing around with boosting posts and saw what it did, you know, invest a couple of bucks, and then, you know, you set one of your goals for this year to be to master Facebook advertising.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a big deal.
And the other thing to consider is why you would boost a post or not. So if your niche market is, say, school boards, you know, you sell to schools and you go through a school board and you're dealing with a minimum amount of decision makers, it might not be worth a whole lot to you to do that.
Right.
The reason that you're going to have this page and you should have this page is so you can share a link with somebody, a new decision maker. You can share them a link to your Facebook page. They can see other members of other school boards or teachers or kids wearing your apparel, the quality of the material made, all in one place, and there's some transparency. They can see other people agreeing with what you said.
They get comfortable with your business.
They get comfortable with your business. They trust your business.
Yeah.
Boosting that post might not get you any other board members to agree to do business with you. However, if you have an online t-shirt store and you made a really cool t-shirt that kind of had the Star Wars type of theme to it right around the movie came out, you know, and all of this stuff, boosting that literally might mean you get 20 people to come to your page and buy that shirt. It's worth literal money.
Yeah, I mean, it could be if it's a cute dog wearing your blinged out dog wear that you custom make, jumping all over the place and excited to be wearing it, then that video will be, if you boost that, that will definitely drive people to your Facebook page.
Yes.
And they are people that will spend on bling shirts for your dog.
Yeah, absolutely. So we went over a bunch of different things here, a bunch of different do's and don'ts. My final thought on it all,
yes,
is do it, keep it simple.
Okay.
That's my thought on it, is get on Facebook, create a page, do it, and then keep things simple. You can keep your shorts, your posts short. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a professional camera and a professional editor to edit every single picture.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a video camera and then upload and edit and all of these things. You could do a lot of these things from your mobile device. You could do all of it from your mobile device.
Right.
And just keep it simple and short and sweet and across the board with your interactions with people, with your pictures, everything.
That's good.
And then you'll do well.
And for me, it's make sure that you fill out everything when you create your Facebook business page. Make sure you fill out the about and the short description and the long description. You do all that stuff. And that you adhere to the 2 to 4 posts a week rule, where one's a picture, one's a video, and one's text. And I think if you do that and make other people aware of your page, that you'll actually have a better business because of it.
Yeah, you will. And it is not – it's like sowing seeds in a farm. You're not going to do this and get business tomorrow. You might.
Right.
You get lucky. But you're going to be lucky.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. You're sowing seeds for a long term of your business. Hopefully you got into this business because you want to do it for a long time, not just for 6 months and be done. So you're sowing long term seeds, and your fruit will grow over time. But just start it now and just start doing it.
Remind me to ban you from agricultural examples.
Wait
like
a minute.
That. No.
You get to do age examples?
I do. Well, because everyone ages and not everyone farms. I'm just saying. Okay, so so that was my last things. Make sure you do the three things every week, a picture, a text post, and a video. Check out the Boost post. Make sure you fill out everything when you create your new page. And you'll need to do all this to get ready for when eventually we do an entire podcast on Facebook advertising, because all this has to be done in advance.
Yep.
Right?
And then come to the Custom Apparel Startups page.
I love that idea.
Join it if you haven't already, and please participate.
We'll talk about all of these things on there. Ask questions there. We like that a lot.
Yeah, that's the best place to add. We've talked about emailing us, and we do have that. And calling us and such, but
we don't want you to do that after this episode. We want you to go to the Facebook page.
go to
the group.
Yeah, because more people get to learn from you, and because you'll get other people that bring in new perspectives, which is cool too.
Yeah, very cool.
So, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks everybody. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi
and Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
Have a good business.